Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, we took a week off, but hey, doesn't he look just radiant co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
Why, thank you. I'm so glad you noticed. I actually did something with my hair for a change.
Yeah, you're letting it grow, basically.
Yeah, that's not by choice.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my goodness. But let's get right into it. Okay, so like we first thing we like to do every week is we want to take a moment and thank our sponsor. We'd like to remind you that this episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, as soon as we're allowed outside, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Don't forget, guys, that when the web store opens up, all right, you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout at kerwinsgamestore.com. I also want to take a second to recognize our Planeswalker patron levels. Our Planeswalker level patrons, we'll say. Ian, Walter, George, Josh, and Zach, who really helped the show in so many ways. We did draw for our events in May, and I'll be getting that out to you guys. I meant to do it last week, but, you know, the week got away from us. So we'll come up with that stuff, and I'll give you guys a name for that. We did play last week. We did play George last month. I'm going to give him another shot, I think, at some point, because I felt bad for him. He had just had an awful, you know, internet day. He couldn't get arena running. I feel horrible. So we'll probably do another one.
I've been having problems with Arena for the last like week or so.
Really?
And I don't think I'm alone either. I think there's people who've been having problems getting it started up. I don't know what's going on. But I was finally able to get some gaming in.
I was unaware of that. Okay. Wow, that's
Arena's been a little finicky for me.
Wow. Well then, that's important stuff to know, absolutely. So we also, you know, it is untapped, so I'm going to untap my bottle of water, because, again.
So tame.
Oh, tonight, yeah, well, I didn't want to cancel the show a second week in a row, but I've been having some, let's call it intestinal fireworks today, and so I'm like, you know what, I think throwing a carbonated beverage down my gullet might not be in our best interest for the good of the show. So, you know.
You got some rumblies in your tumblies.
Yeah, basically. So if I suddenly leave the show and without any warning, just forgive me and, you know, realize that I think you're all amazing. So,
and thank God that there's a green screen behind you. Otherwise, it'd be a brown screen.
Oh, wow. That's just got weird. Those jokes are never funny. So, dude, we had 2 weeks off. How have you been? What's new? What's exciting? What are the haps?
You know, it's been
same as it ever was.
The days have been bleeding together, honestly. It's really been hard to keep track of things. I had to remind myself that it was May.
Yeah.
That might have been because it was snowing too, but
yeah, for those of you that don't know, upstate New York got hit with snow on Sunday. It was Saturday. It was amazing.
There was some spot near Vermont that got a foot.
That's
it was crazy.
Insane.
It's nuts, and I'm like, are we sure that are the calendar's broken? Is everything else broken? What's going on?
What's happening? So
I'm figuring we're at two out of the four horsemen of the apocalypse already, so, you know, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely been one of those weird kind of days. You know, it's been a weird time to be just, you know, in life, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it is. The days are bleeding together. It looks like we're going to be in for, you know, another month at least, probably in New York anyway. I mean, they're starting to open up some regions, but not many. And certainly not, you know, my region's opening up. Like, game stores here, and we're going to talk about that in the main phase, but game stores here can open up starting Friday for curbside stuff, like retail. They can't host events, obviously.
Yeah, that's going to be a long way out.
I have a feeling. You know, which sucks. I miss playing. I miss being somewhere and sitting across the table playing from somebody. I mean, Arena's wonderful, but it just can't beat the joy that comes from looking your opponent in the eye as you're just saltying the living hell out of them. So
I'm a completely different player online than I am on tabletop. And I really noticed the difference. And I, I miss tabletop. There is the interaction. There is a certain way that you kind of present yourself on tabletop.
Yep.
That is completely different than being behind your screen name online. You know, to me, I find myself getting more emotionally invested, we'll say, in the games on Arena. Whereas on tabletop, you know, I have more fun playing on tabletop than I do on Arena. Even if I'm doing well on Arena, I have more fun on tabletop losing than I do winning on Arena.
I would agree. You know what? That's a great point to make. Is, you know, it is. It's more fun to lose in person than it is to win on Arena.
As long as my opponent on tabletop's not being a complete D-bag.
Which,
you know what I mean?
Which we've played against. Lording it over your head.
Yeah, but, you know, for the most part, I try to be civil about it. And then after the match is over, I'm like to tell my friends, like, did you see that jerk back there? And there's a cat.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Very upset cat.
He is. Hi.
Poor thing. Poor
thing. Let's take that again. Hold on a second.
No, leave it in. It's fine. It's great.
All right, yeah.
Screw.
We're very professional here. We're so professional.
It's a coronavirus pandemic, and we can leave the cats in.
So, Saban, Ohio, place is opening this week. My LGS opens tomorrow. So, cheaper. Honey, hold on a second.
Yeah, the LGS is here. Where I'm at, it's going to be a little bit longer before things start opening up. Like you said, your stores were opening. But I think it's going to be at least another probably 3-4 weeks, if not longer, before Kerwin's opens. Which
I think opens. I mean, here's the thing. Nobody's opening. And you know what? Before we get into that, we might as well go over. Here's what we're doing tonight, folks. We're obviously, top story is going to be, paper releases this weekend. It's scheduled for this weekend. It's going forward, as far as I know, because some places in America are open. So paper release for most of the world is going to be this weekend. We're going to talk about what some of the stores are doing. I've got some information. We're going to talk about the state of Standard again, because Standard has changed again.
A lot.
And we're going to talk about the same thing everybody else loves to talk about, the dead horse in the room, and how Companions has broken Standard. And has certainly broken Historic, Legacy, Vintage, Modern, and Pioneer.
I don't have a crow.
Yeah,
I don't have a crow here. I have a bird and a pan.
Thanks.
Does that count?
Yeah, that'd be great. And we'll talk about cycling and other mechanics as well. For combat today, we're gonna band about back and forth what to do with the Companions in Standard, and in the other formats, but mainly focused on Standard, because shocker, we're a Standard podcast. Our main two we're going to do into Magic 101. We want to talk about the stack this week, what the stack is, how to interact with the stack, what to do with the stack. And we're not talking about the stack you kind of find at the little bar down the street you go to where you put the dollars in the bras. We're talking about the stack in Magic. So, you like what I did there? See, I'm so damn 21st century PC.
I'm not touching it.
I would definitely touch it as much as they let me. I missed it. Dang it. Where was it? There. Oh, no, wait, not that one. Oh, actually, that works.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, and then we're going to talk about our winner. We do have a winner for our Winnabox promo. So we finally have our winner. We're very excited about him. I don't think we have any emails, and we'll pull a name. I'm going to pull a name next week for the iTunes because I'm not ready for it. So so with that in mind, we might as well get right into it because we started dancing around it.
Main phase.
Welcome to main phase. The first thing we want to talk about this week is, obviously, a lot of people are talking about Standard this week and, the fact that it, obviously in the worldwide pandemic, but especially in the United States, we are still pretty much on lockdown. There are some states in the Midwest that are wide open, but for the most part, for most of the central population cities and states in this country, we're on lockdown. And it's starting to loosen up a little bit. So in a way, Wizards was right to kind of push it off this far. So we want to talk a little bit about what paper release is going to look like this week, because as of Friday, it's not called pre-release, I don't think. It's just release, right? It's live.
I think the official
release date is Friday. It's not a pre-release anymore.
The official release is Friday. I don't think they're calling. You can buy pre-release kits. They're still going to be named pre-release kits because they were obviously printed and made before all this went to hell.
Right, but there's no. But there's probably no events where you're playing with.
There's them. No. I know that Jamie Wilder said their LGS is having a pre-release, which I think is a little reckless. But that's not really my place to say. But I'll say this: if there are places having actual events, they are either few and far between. Or it's one of those situations where you buy the pre-release kit, you play it at home, and they have some way for you to report the results to them. But I think 95% or more of places that would be having pre-releases are basically just letting you come into the store, buy a pre-release kit, and say, go home, have fun with some friends, you know?
And that's kind of what's happening here. Now, it's weird because New York is taking a much more of a...
deliberate.
Well, not a deliberate, but they're a regional stance is what I want to say. Parts of this, because finally our governor kind of woke up and realized that New York City and upstate New York are two completely different states. And he realized that keeping us closed until upstate can, you know, catch up to New York or downstate can catch up to us is ludicrous. So he's moved to this idea of a regional opening. So to put it plainly, and put a fine point on it, you and I live, what, about 40 miles apart, probably? Probably 50? So what's happening is where our store, Kerwin's, which we like to go to, is more closer to you, obviously, than me. They are still closed. They're a part of what's called the Capital Region of New York. They're closed. They're not on pause. They are still on New York pause. So they're considered a non-essential retailer, so they are closed. So they're not doing anything as far as I know. I did reach out to Steve. I never heard from him, but it's Monday and I did it like 3 hours ago.
I'm sure he'll have a statement.
At some point he will update all of us. Yes. So with that in mind, so that's on pause. So, but 40 miles up the thruway now, where I live in Amsterdam, New York, Professor Bonds Emporium, which is the store that I go to occasionally, that's closer to me here, they are opening up for curbside. We can do what's called curbside. And Anastasia even put out a post today on their Facebook saying, Friday and Saturday we will be open for curbside pickup between noon and 5. You can call in an order and pay outside from your car. You can come into the store and purchase at the stand. We will have a limit of how many people are allowed in the store at the time if it comes to that. Our store play area is not open yet. And we do not have a date for that, but we will keep you informed. So basically what they're doing is they're fulfilling all their pre-orders, and you can come and pick up a pre-release pack if you want to. It's wonderful. So, it's exciting there. I know Gamers Revolt is doing, which is another one about Fort Plain, which is about 20 miles that way. They're doing something similar. So stores are opening, but they're not, no events are going to fire.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen for a while.
And that's sad because what a pre-release this would be.
It would be. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine the swings on this? Like if you didn't know, actually it kind of almost would be unfair. It's almost a way to do the pre-releases because if you open a companion, you're like, all right, it's a 40 card deck. You now have 41 cards. Like better odds for you.
41 cards unless you open your in which case then you have 61 cards.
Yes. So, it's a big deal. Like, you know what? That's a good point. Maybe that should be our combat. Like, what would pre-release look like? Would this be the most unfair pre-release ever?
We could debate that for sure.
We could just debate it now. This will move us right into there. Let's see here. Zach's got some info here. Wizards just announced a B&R for next Monday.
Only impacting Vintage, Legacy, and Brawl. We know what this is.
This is called, it rhymes with Papanion?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
More specific. It might rhyme more specifically with, Loris.
I don't think they do just Loris. It's impact. People are playing other cards. Like, it's not.
We'll get to
Loris.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will get to this.
But, it would be almost an incredible... opening a companion in your pre-release pack would be insane. Like,
I do think it depends somewhat on the commander. There are a couple of the commanders where you're like, you open it.
Companions, you mean?
Yeah, companions. That's what I meant. Where it's there's a couple of them that are not as good as others. I mean, they're all good in one respect or another, but there's a couple of them that are, you're like, okay, this one's decent, but I'm not super crazy about it. And then there's other ones where you're like, well, there's no reason not to do this.
Right. So, I mean, for me, if you open a companion, you're gonna play it.
Almost every time.
Yeah, cycling, obviously. I mean, that's just it. The mechanics in this set are okay. And again, this is my crow eating moment. I mean, mechanics on this set have warped the meta, like in a very real, very relevant, very very tactile way. Like this is warping the meta. You only need to look at MTG Goldfish, you know, to see that. Like, the fact that, you know, the biggest decks right now are, you know, is the Urion Loka, which is insane. Like, I'm playing that deck. I lose, but not often. Like, it's just the interaction between Luka or whatever it is, and, you know, basically the Agent of Treachery is outrageous. Like, oh, yeah. Yes, here, let me use my, you know, Maltus to, you know, let me Bertha Mellitus to create my little 0/4 wall. I'm going to sack that. Give me a creature. Oh, what are the only creatures I have? Agent of Treachery. How nice. Thank you.
And then because you have Fires of Invention in play in 5 lands, you're like, let me just Yorian that and steal something else.
Yeah. It's busted out loud. I'm having a great time playing. Somebody's going to break the code on it, of course, because, I mean, Garuda was the biggest thing for a while, but...
Yeah, that's gone.
I mean, Josh is saying in the Facebook chat on the on our other stream, he's saying Loras is his go-to deck right now. And here's the thing, guys. Mm-hmm. We are on multiple platforms tonight. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. We're on my personal Facebook. We're on our Facebook page. I should have turned that off, actually, but that's okay. But if you want to be in the show, if you want your comments to show up, connect to the one that's from BeLive. So, and then I can throw it on the screen. I'll work on doing it next week for the other one, because I do like the fact that we're on multiple platforms.
So I have to say,
okay,
this is probably, we've been wrong on plenty of things this podcast before.
Okay,
I would say this is the most wrong that we've been, because I remember when we were talking about these cards that you were saying that companion probably won't make an impact in Constructed. It seems like a limited thing. Not that big of a deal. And I said, you know, there was a couple that maybe had some potential, but it didn't look super crazy. Whoops.
Well, it's the eighth card. And that's just it.
That was the point that I was making, is that you always have that eighth card.
And it's the fact that it's an uninteractable eighth card, which I love. Like, I personally love it, because I think Thought Erasure is... Let me be honest here. If you're playing Thought Erasure, you're an asshole. I'm kidding, of course. But, I mean, you're a jerk, okay? You know you're a jerk. Like, you play it, you're like,
Yeah, I hate the card, and I still play it whenever I can.
Oh, yeah, it's Thoughtseize on crack. But the fact that you can't interact with the card, though, the fact that the card is sitting outside until it's not, is... Now, for me personally, and I mean, this is the thing, is like the big thing that people have been talking about this week is that, and I love the man to death, but I think quarantine's killing him, is that Mark Rosewater's been tweeting like a madman. And he tweeted out a poll last week, and he's like, which would you prefer, innovation or balance? And he got exactly what you would expect that he would get.
they weren't. Twitter wasn't happy about that.
Oh, no, not at all.
Well, here's the thing. I think somebody posted a meme about this, and it kind of makes sense. You know that meme where it's the boyfriend and the girlfriend, and the boyfriend's turning back to look at another girl, and the girlfriend looks at him like he wants to... Yeah. So the one half of the meme says the girlfriend is Commander MTG, and the boyfriend is Commander Players, and the other girl in the picture is...
The companion.
Companions, saying... Commander Standard. Well, yeah.
So the question...
It's not working out that way.
All right. So, I mean, here's the thing. Companions are... The biggest change to the game, and it's been said, and I'm not the only one who said this. I've heard it on multiple podcasts, multiple content creators. So I'm not going to cite anybody because I've heard it from many of them. Companion is the biggest change to Standard, to Magic, to the game since Planeswalkers. Like, it is that warping of an idea. And I don't think
they go back from
this.
If you have a way to play them.
Huh?
If you have a way to play it, I mean, like, the biggest, I don't want to say offender, but the biggest example of how warping this is Lures of the Dream Den.
Yeah, I know.
The card is seeing play in literally every format that can cast him.
Yeah.
If you are playing white or black and there are any two cost permanents in your deck at all, and even sometimes not, that card is in there. I mean, it's in a sacrifice deck, it's in a cauldron deck,
in the cycling deck. Everything wants to come out of two. Everything wants, even unless you're going to ramp, which the problem is the word on there. The problem with Loris is one word. One word is the problem on that. The word on that card that's the problem is permanence. If it said spells, different thing. Not as powerful of a card.
They love this card in Vintage. Huh? They love this card in Vintage.
Absolutely, because it says permanent. So you could cast any number of instants and sorceries that are high cost as long as your permanents are two or less.
Well, Mark Rosewater actually had an interesting point on his blogatog. Somebody had asked him about this. They said, did you design the companions with Eternal formats in mind? Did you know what these were going to do to Eternal formats? And his answer was very telling. He said, we don't have the resources to test Eternal formats. We test primarily for Standard and a couple other fringe situations in other formats where we think there might possibly be an issue. We don't test Legacy. We don't test Vintage because the format either self-corrects or they can ban the offending cards. Which, on the one hand, okay, I mean, you think of these Eternal formats, people have poured in thousands upon thousands of dollars into these decks to play them for years and years and years. If the meta warps too much, either it adapts or they have to tweak it. And they're more than willing to do it. And I'm glad that they're willing to turn that lever. It's just, I don't know if I want to call this a miss. I think this is something where they wanted to push something. And maybe they just didn't realize exactly how good it would be everywhere.
Well, here's the thing, too. I read somewhere, and I'm not sure if it's Rosewater who said it or if it was just another content creator. So, again, I don't have the source. But I do agree with it. It's that, and I think it was Rosewater. He was like, listen, you know, we also have to design cards. I mean, there's always going to be power creep because they want each set to impact more than Standard. They need these cards. For them to make money, really, these cards have to impact Modern and Pioneer at the very least, if not, you know, Vintage and Legacy, and definitely Commander. You need it to happen. So they can't just have, you know, Modern be changed whenever they put out a Modern Horizons. They need Standard to also impact that. Because otherwise, why would anyone who's playing a Modern deck, if you have your $1,500 Modern deck built, why in the world would you ever go and get another card out of it? Why would you buy a Standard pack? You won't. You know, you may go buy the card.
Not unless it's something that's so powerful.
Right.
Like the companions have proven to be, that your deck won't survive without it. And I think...
So I'm okay with that. I am.
I'm okay with it too. Like, and I've said this before. I would rather they push the envelope and go too far than play it safe and be people like, oh, this set's so boring. There's nothing powerful in here.
Yeah.
Sometimes they go too far. They went too far with Thorn of Eldraine. Theros Beyond Death was better. There's not really too many really crazy cards. You know, Dream Trawler's a problem, but it's not like...
To be quite honest, I think crazy. Theros felt more like a core set than the core set felt like. And I think we said that.
Yeah, but that also shows how powerful Thorn of Eldraine was, and it also shows how ridiculous Ikoria was. Ikoria is making Thorn of Eldraine look like...
Nothing.
Like nothing.
People are talking about the fact that, you know, they may have to ban this entire mechanic. I don't know if it's going to go that far yet. But, I mean, Ikoria is powerful. The fact that the cycling deck, and again, a lot of it has to do with Loris, but the cycling deck is a deck.
I love the cycling deck.
The cycling deck's a deck, and it's a good deck, and it's playable.
You know the biggest reason that I love the cycling deck? Is that if you don't want to play the Shocklands... The only rare in your deck outside of your sideboard is Loras.
Well, and the otherwise tri-lands.
I've seen versions that don't even play that. I've seen some that are straight Rakdos.
Wow. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you don't unless you don't want to play if you're not playing the lands, the only rare you need is like Grafdigger's Cage and Loras.
Yep.
And it's all commons and uncommons. So you could basically open up one or two booster boxes and have the deck. And that's great for standard because it allows people who are really on a budget to be able to go to the commons and uncommons bin and build this for $50.
And every time I've lost with the cycle deck, it's because of the shocks. Like, I've thought about pulling the shocks out of it because you want to shock your land in. But you don't need it. It's like you're 9 times out of 10, as long as you get to white to cast the fox or a red to cast the thing that plinks you for one. Like,
oh, the Drown of Sting.
Yeah, that's all you need. So, I mean, I've started redesigning it, but again, I've been playing the Lurik deck. I love that deck. Oh, that deck is fun. The Urian Luka deck is just it's fun out loud. It really is, and it's because it feels kind of like Azorius Control, only it's not Azorius Control.
Yeah, it feels like you're cheating.
It does.
When you're playing that deck, it really feels like you're cheating.
You're not wrong. And it's
and the number of people who have been complaining about Companion has only been somewhat equal to the number of people who have been complaining about Agent of Treachery.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what now people are calling for, the ban on Agent of Treachery. I'm like, listen, Agent of Treachery, they knew what they were doing. I mean, the cards, it's a 7 drop. Yeah. And there's no way to ramp into Simic at all.
Nexus of Fate.
Yeah. So, I mean,
what is it with them and 7 CMC blue spells that they just can't figure it out?
Oh, no, they figured it out great. I think that I think Agent of Treachery is a great card. I do. And I think it's unfair as hell. And there's nothing worse than you're playing with my cards.
I think they should have maybe said non-land permanent.
It does kind of suck that it takes your land.
Because it's land destruction. It's land destruction, and it's repeatable land destruction, especially with Thassa and Yorion floating around.
I mean, I screwed myself up the other day. I was playing it, and a guy had a Field of Ruin, and I'm like, I miscounted how many mana he had, because I didn't realize it was a treasure event, too. I didn't realize that he had two treasures open. I'm like, oh, I'm going to take that freaking Field of Ruin, then.
You targeted the Field of Ruin.
Yeah, I targeted Field of Ruin. Whoops.
Well, you made him use it before he wanted to.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, you know, it's... Companions are busted. I think cycling is a thing. Mutate's
big and limited. I'll say this, though. Ikoria is a very complex set.
It really is.
The interactions and the level of concentration that you have to have, even online, to know, okay, how many times has this creature mutated? How many freaking abilities does this thing have?
Yeah, and then...
It's a great set, and then cycling adds a lot to it. I mean, it's... From the complexity aspect and the making you think and not just turn stuff sideways magic, I love this set.
Yes.
Did they go too far with companions? Probably.
Well, and that's just it. I think, you know, let me ask you this. All right, so companions have been compared to planeswalkers, and we've had planeswalkers since they came out. And they were as big of an impact on standard as companions are now. Mm-hmm. Are companions... going away, or did we open a Pandora's box? Do we have companions from now on? Do you have two major planeswalkers in a set and maybe two companions?
I'm gonna cautiously say no, and I think the reason I'm gonna say that is because I think that what they probably did, unlike planeswalkers, these aren't like character specific cards. You know, they're legendary, so they matter for the world that they're in. But I wasn't around when planeswalkers were introduced. When I came back and saw planeswalkers, I was like, what the heck are these? And realized, you know, they're insane. Companions are similar in that respect. If your deck can play them, there is literally no reason not to. If you can, and a lot of the times, not even having to worry about the deck building restriction.
The deck building restriction is a joke.
Okay. Well, some of them are good enough on their own. Some of them are good enough on their own demerit play. Mm-hmm. Yorion is good enough on its own demerit play. Loras is good enough on its own demerit play. Having them as your companion is obviously better, but it's like it's one of those things where it's not super necessary.
Right.
But I think we'll probably see companion again. I don't think it'll be in the next set or two. They probably introduced it to see how it goes. They probably have plans for it. I don't think we'll see it again for a little while.
Well,
if
the next
things start getting banned, we definitely won't see it again unless it's like a supplemental set.
The next set is the core set.
It won't be there.
It won't be there.
Companions way too complicated for core set.
If they were going to put it anywhere, it would be after, probably you're right, probably after Zendikar.
If it's going to show up again, it'll be either Zendikar or the set after. Something is telling me that this is sort of like a Aquarius-specific thing because, you know, they have the whole story with the Bonders and how they interact with the monsters on the plane. Mm-hmm. There's not really anything else like that anywhere else that we've visited in Magic so far. So it would be a little hard to sort of push that into the story or into the lore of that world in that respect. So I would not be surprised if this didn't show up again until we came back to Aquaria 5, 6, 7 years from now.
Possibly. I could see them trying to find a way to make it come back because it
doesn't rule out, like I said, it doesn't rule out supplemental sets. So we could see it like in a Commander Precon or something.
So I don't know, but I think that, but I mean, it's obvious that companions are the hotness. They're the big story. They're the talk of the town right now. So it makes you want to ask the question. I mean, are they going to be banned in standard? Are they going to be banned in older formats? Which is going to bring us right into
combat phase.
We actually have a combat phase tonight. So with that, I mean, the question is really what we want to know is, do we think they should ban companions in standard?
Not yet.
Okay.
That's my answer to that is not yet. They're not as crazy in standard. Granted, there are a lot of them, but I feel like they're powerful, but they're still mostly answerable. The biggest problem is just, you know, the insanity that you get combining Yorin with Agent of Treachery. I think if they do anything in standard, which apparently they're not with the next BNR happening next week, the only thing that they might even touch in standard would possibly be Agent, but that's rotating, so they probably won't do it. I don't see them banning Companion in standard. Now, we know that the BNR coming up next Monday is impacting Vintage, Legacy, and Brawl. I just looked up the Vintage metagame. Loris Lavinia, Loris Breach, Loris Paradoxical Outcome, Loris Deathrite Shaman, Loris Sprite Dragon. Those are 5 of the top 6 decks. Yeah, I wonder who is on the target block right now in Vintage.
Yeah.
Legacy is probably very similar, but it's Loris and Oko.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing, and Josh is saying no, that we shouldn't ban him in standard. I'm not gonna disagree with you on this one. I'm going to reserve it, though, because here's the thing. All right. If this was a set, if this was released, you know, if this was released, like, right before rotation, if this was, you know, the core set.
The last
set.
Yeah,
the last set that we were going to see. So what's getting taken out this year? War of the Spark?
Well, it is. This is the last set before rotation because, I mean, core set doesn't really count.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Core set would be the one, though, because core set, you only have for 9 months.
Like, these are here for the next 2 years, basically.
Yeah, these are here for 2 more years. Like, if they put it in the core set, I'd be okay. We have to go through the core set. We have to go through Zendikar. We have to go through whatever the next 2 are and another core set. Like, that's, what, 6 sets?
6 sets.
That can break...
It's about a year and a half.
That can break Companion. Like, that can, I mean, because we have 10 companions, one for every color pair, one for every guild, basically. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, if they were going to do it, I could see them doing that. It's like, if God, you know, not that I think we should be going back to Ravnica anytime soon, but they could sit there and say guilds are somewhere else, and now you have a guild companion, and it does this stupid thing. I don't know. It'd be very easy for them to cheat companions back in. That's my only fear with the companions, is that, looking at it right now, you know, some people are playing the Simic Companion. A lot of people are playing the Azorius. A lot of people are playing the, you know, Garuda was the hotness for a while. I think Garuda will come back once they find something with a real...
Loris and Yorin are the two that are seeing the most play right now.
And I think Garuda will come back when you get a better ETB. and you find when they give you a blue black creature, spells cannot be countered, either blue or black. No, Garuda's now that Garuda's a hotness. Well,
I think with Garuda, they probably did a pretty decent job with balancing Garuda.
They did.
Because it's pretty restrictive, because it has to be the top four cards that it mills. It has to be a creature. It has to be even converted mana cost, either on yours or your opponent's side. So
with
unless,
Spark Double, though, that's not hard. And the fact that you can Spark Double it
not
in.
Not really, no, but it has to be one of the top four cards.
Right, which, but it's real easy to do with Thassa, because it technically has to be top eight. Because
yeah,
I played the Garuda
deck. It's more of a build around than the other ones, where it's just, I come in, this happens, and I get this.
I think Garuda is the actual, like, most companion card in the deck, in this set.
You need to work for it.
Huh?
You need to work for it a little more.
He's the most companion-y companion card. He's the one who you do. You're going to build a deck around it. It's what they intended. I don't think they intended, you know, which is really unusual, because if you think about it, you know, Yori and Luca, well, they're both in the same damn set. You're telling me nobody thought of this? You know, like the interaction on that and the fact that Agent of Treachery is, you know, existing.
The blinking with Agent of Treachery was definitely, I mean, obviously they had to have thought about it, because they made Thassa as well. So there are multiple ways, especially in, there's also other ways in white to blink, you know, permanents that you control. So there's lots of ways to get multiple triggers in a turn off of Agent of Treachery.
Right. And I mean, don't forget, we're coming into, here's the thing, I think this deck's going to be around for a while for one simple reason. We're coming into Teferi. Like, the fact of the matter is, odds are very good the next set, with Teferi already out there, we could very well have five Teferis available in Standard. Very easily.
I don't know. I'm not sure they're going to do multiple Teferis in this set.
They did multiple Chandras, and they did.
They did.
And they said this is the way they want to go. They started designing Teferi Core 21 last year. I think they will this time. And they dodged a bullet with Chandra. It's not like Chandra, you know, you pretty much had two really good ones, and then the other, you know?
I mean, all three of them can see play in the right situation. The uncommon one is rightfully so the worst of the three. Rightfully so. The rare one sees play in aggressive decks, and the mythic saw less play than maybe it should have.
Yeah.
But control really hasn't been a thing, so.
But I think with, there'll be at least three Teferis. But in
the core set itself, I'd say two at the most.
I will be surprised if there's not three. I think they're going to do the same thing they do with Chandra. They'll have an uncommon, rare, and a mythic. The uncommon will have a static ability. Or no, the mythic, I'm sorry, will have the static ability. But
we'll see.
I'd be very surprised if they don't. And I'm sorry, if the static ability on the new Teferi says you can't cast spells, I'm changing this podcast. We're going to become a podcast dealing with Monopoly. It's going to be a Monopoly podcast. We're going to talk about things like auctions and whether you should do auctions instead of just letting somebody not buy stuff. That's where we're going to go if these mother frackers give us another 2 years with a Teferi that with a Teferi that locks you out of play in Flash. Because, damn it, I hate that card. And you know what? I ain't the only one.
Oh, no. Three Fairy is much reviled over anybody who doesn't play Azorius colors.
Goddamn card.
I'm fine with it.
So, all right, so we're kind of in agreement on Standard. Now, Modern. Do you ban Companions in Modern? Because
again,
I think you have to ban the mechanic. I don't think you ban willy-nilly card. I think you've got to go because in Modern, having an eighth card, you can't not.
In any Eternal format, having an eighth card is ridiculous.
The further we get from Standard, the more important it is for that eighth card.
The more powerful they get. I would say banning the mechanic is too far. Because, again, there are some of these companions are not as good as the others.
Okay.
Like, Karuga's good, but it's basically a one-shot deal.
Right.
Garuda's good, but unless you build around it, it's a one-shot deal. I forget what the red-white one's called, but that one could, you know, that one could be abused. Loris, obviously, is being abused. Yorian's being abused. I would say go after the troublemakers if you do, but not right now. I mean, it seems like modern is, a for whatever reason, a little bit more able to deal with them or at least adapt to them than the other formats. But I think a lot of that is because Vintage and Legacy especially have a lot more access to fast mana.
True.
So I think Standard, Pioneer, and Modern are okay for now.
Okay.
I'm going to, like you said, I'm going to reserve the right to say that I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the line at least one or two of them maybe get banned.
But nothing right now. I think you got to ban the whole thing. I think if you're going to do it, you got to ban the whole thing. I just do. I think the mechanic was not designed for Modern or Pioneer.
But if you're going to do it. That.
Vintage and Legacy, absolutely. Ban them. You can't even restrict it.
I can respect that, but I do think that would basically involve Wizards having to come out and saying, you know, big giant mea culpa, we've effed up again.
The fact that Mark Rosewater is tweeting every 7 seconds feels like it's their mea culpa. Like he's trying to find some way out of this.
Well, I think that's more of Morrow being the type of person. He seems like the type of person to me who just can't sit still.
Yeah.
You know, he's the type of person that he's like, he has to be doing something all the time. And if he's not, you know, if he's had some downtime and there's not a lot of work going on or whatever, you know what? He's going to be on Twitter. He's going to be doing something. But I also give him a lot of credit for always being at the forefront, taking all the slings and arrows when half the time he has nothing to do with it.
Right. So, okay. So that was a pretty good combat, I think. You know, let's go ahead and get into, you know.
Main phase.
All right, so let's talk about our main phase here. Main two, we've been working for a while on Magic 101. So we've been talking about it, and well, two weeks ago, we talked about mana and how to choose what mana to do. And so this week, Professor Aramis has decided that what we want to talk about this week is your favorite issue in mine. And that is stacked. You know, should we stack the deck? I believe in stacking the deck. I think if you can make it so that your mana comes up consistently and the big cards come up on the turn you need them to come, I think that should be fair. I think there's far too much shuffling in Magic. I don't think we need to shuffle. I think stacking should be more than allowed. Is this what you're talking about?
Just a word of the wise, the Planeswalkers podcast does not condone in any way cheating or stacking of your deck. If you do so, you deserve to stop playing the game and or being banned. Thank you very much.
Hey. Don't speak for the podcast. Aramis Perez feels that way. But Will Benson feels that it's not cheating if you know what? If they have a rule that says you get kicked out for it, that means it's not cheating. It means it's a part of the game. But getting caught, that's what happens.
I think this is what happens when you walk into one too many Settle the Wreckages.
Yeah, shut up. No. So we're going to talk a little bit about the stack tonight, which, you know, the history of the stack is kind of interesting. It wasn't always here.
No.
And then it came out, it solved a lot of problems, because before that you had instants and interrupts, and interrupts could only be played against something and this and that. Then an instant could probably be played against an interrupt, but then you could interrupt the instant. Oh, yeah. And then
you're not even talking about when Dark Ritual used to be a mana source.
Yes. So let's talk about the stack, because the stack is an essential piece to knowing how to construct your deck, how to put your deck together, whether it's limited or not, you know.
It goes beyond that. It's to understand really how to play the game and to really give yourself an advantage.
So if you're not familiar with what the stack is, it's a virtual thing. The way that I best heard it described is picture Jenga. And all right, each card's a piece of the wood. And somebody plays one card, and that's like the bottom wood piece. And then somebody else is going to play another wood piece on top of it. And somebody else might play another wood piece on top of that, and another wood piece on top of that. And then you have to go through and deal with each wood piece as you pick it off the stack, and it impacts things below it. Is that a good analogy?
I mean, it's basically what happens is everything that happens in Magic, when you cast a spell, well, almost everything, whenever you cast a spell, whenever you activate an ability, whenever an ability gets triggered, it goes on the stack. And what that does, it's the bookkeeping for the game. So say you want to kill this guy's creature that he just cast. It's on the board. It's fine. You cast your spell. It goes on the stack. Now, this goes a little bit deeper into the weeds as far as the minutiae of the rules are concerned. But it's handled in a way of, I think it's called APNAP. Active player, non-active player.
Right.
And things called priority. We'll probably talk about that a little bit at some other time. But basically what happens is that whenever you cast a spell or activate an ability, unless you decide that you're going to respond to it yourself, you pass priority to the other player. In a two-player game, it's simply your opponent, and that's where we'll stay with for now. So the non-active player, or whoever's not activating the ability, and whoever's passed priority, then has a chance to respond to whatever you've done. If he passes priority, then whatever's going to happen, happens. And basically, at any point, anything else happens, both players get the chance to respond to it. When both players pass priority and say, this is fine, the top thing on the stack resolves, then the next thing, then the next thing. It's kind of like last in, first out. The last thing you add is the first thing that resolves. Mm-hmm. Where the stack gets a little bit more complicated is that while all this is going on, you can add more stuff to it. So if there's five things on the stack and three of them have resolved, one of the players can go, okay, now that we're here, I want to add this. And then the whole thing starts over again. So if you have an understanding of how the stack works, and it takes some time because some of, you know, it's not always the most intuitive thing.
Right.
But once you get an understanding of how that works, I mean, your level of gameplay will go up quite a bit. It's a big level up moment where you figure out, oh, okay, so this is how this works. This is why this happens the way that it does. The times when it gets the most complicated is if multiple things happen at the same time.
Right.
And I've seen there was a situation that came up. I'm going to even try to see if I can remember what it was about. A player had a Chandra Planeswalker on the board. I think it was Awakened Inferno. And the opponent had cast Banishing Light on it. So it was exiled. So they cast another... It wasn't Banishing Light. It was Deputy of Detention.
Right.
This is why it's relevant. So he had cast Deputy of Detention, exiling the Chandra basically underneath the Deputy.
Right.
So that player who had the original Chandra played a second one. Then what happened was the player with the Deputy of Detention cast Time Wipe. So the spell reads, you know, return a creature card to your hand, then destroy all creatures. There was something else that happened too. I'm trying to really remember what this was because it was a very confusing thing. But in between returning the Deputy of Detention to his hand and creatures all being destroyed, there were two Chandras on the battlefield. There was something else about all these triggered abilities going off. It was really nuts. And we ended up having to call a judge, and even the judge was a little confused for a while as to what actually was supposed to happen. But anyway, the stack is a very complicated thing.
It is.
It's one of the most complicated aspects of Magic, but only if, you know, like I said, it only really happens when there's multiple things happening at the same time and you have to keep track of it all. All I can tell you is that if you are the active player and you have more than one thing going off at once, you are allowed to choose what order they go off in.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for the non-active player and all of their activated abilities, but you get to make the decisions first as the active player.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so, and I mean, this is not even counting things in Modern and Pioneer like Split Second, which...
can't be responded to.
Which is just to piss me off. Thank God that mechanic's dead. Oh, I swear to God, they bring that back. Oh shit.
Well, isn't there a card that just exiles everything that's on the stack?
Right now? Yeah, yeah.
I think it was printed in one of the Innistrad sets. I think it says, exile... target spell and or all spells that are exile all spells or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah, forget it. Stuff like that just. Which we're about due in a core. I could see it in core. They're like, oh, one of the mechanics we're bringing back. Everybody's been asking for Split Second. Teferi does Split Second. Oh my God, that's what they're gonna freaking do. They're gonna bring back Split Second with Teferi. You watch. You freaking watch. That's what's.
I was just gonna say that actually fits his character.
God damn it.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the buy a box.
Mark it down, boys and girls. Mark it down. We're calling our shot right now. Core 21 is going to bring back Split Second, and it's going to put it on Teferi and piss off the world.
I don't know if it'll be on Teferi, but I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, if the BioBox promo was a split second card. I would be not shocked in the
least. They wouldn't do it to just BioBox then. They would bring the mechanic back. It'll come back. Oh my god, it would fit in this set. It really would fit in the standard we have right now, in the post rotation standard, especially from thrown forward.
Split second. I mean, it could be done. I don't know where that falls in the storm scale, but it could totally be done.
Gonna happen, isn't it? It's gonna happen. Oh, damn it. I don't want it
either
to happen.
It's a lot more instance. It's either split second or multiple instance that can't
all right
count.
I'm gonna put it this way right now. If you bring back split second wizards, if you're listening and you're watching, first of all, hey, give us some spoiler cards, man. We want to be part of the team. Secondarily to that, lightning bolt. Do you hear me? Lightning bolt. We want bolt. We want the one drop, not this strike crap. Bring me back the bolt. All right, moving on.
You know, I was thinking about that actually today. I was thinking, what situation would it be appropriate to bring back lightning bolt? And I was thinking, if they brought it back, I was almost thinking as a rare, but as an uncommon, I could see it as an uncommon. I mean, maybe as a rare.
No, it would be uncommon.
Because they've already said that you're never going to see regular counterspell again
right.
in standard. They've already said two blue to counter everything is too strong for standard the way they have things right now. Lightning bolt, they said it's problematic but not impossible because it's happened before.
Right.
So
I mean, putting it into a core set means it's only out for a year. I can see them putting it. Please, you could put split second if there's a lightning bolt. Okay, moving on. So, moving on from that though, that's the stack. That was our Magic 101 this week. So, hope you guys are enjoying that. Next week, we'll probably talk about who knows curve maybe or something. But what I want to talk about also is we got some great news. A week ago, last Saturday, Mark and oh boy, I can't remember who he played. In any event. We have our champion. So Mark actually won. He actually became a patron, too, at the mana level. He's at 250. He's our first mana patron.
Sweet.
So Mark is our champion. He has won the box. So we're very, very excited about that. We're going to, you know, as soon as Kerwin's opens up, we'll be sending them the information on that so that they can, you know. So yeah. But we'll be sending the information to Kerwin so that they can get him his box. I have his address and everything. So that was a lot of fun, dude. I think guys had a great time with that. For Core 21, I think we might do the same thing. I think we're going to get together and hopefully opening it up to more listeners. So, you know, be ready, guys. When we're ready to announce this, be listening to the podcast. If you know that a set is coming up, that's the time to start listening to this podcast because we're going to do this again. So, I mean, he's going to get hooked up pretty good. Kerwin's has always been pretty good about that. So, Mark, congratulations, and congratulations to everybody. And I'm going to try to find some way to give you guys all some prizes. I'm working on that right now, and so be checking the Discord and stuff, and I'll get you guys some information. But we're very, very excited about that. So, again, congrats, Mark. We don't have an email tonight. I know Walter's son came. I think Walter's son came home. So, I mean, nice. You know, he didn't email us this week, but that's okay. We do miss you, Walter. But let me see here. Did we get any new iTunes reviews, too? So, we didn't get any. A lot of people were like, wow, you guys aren't on the air this week. So, they didn't. I don't think they wrote because we took a week off. So, actually, we do have a new iTunes review. So, I'm going to read that real quick. This is from Lip413. It says, long overdue review. I finally figured out how to leave a review. Yay! Your show is my first review. By the way, this is 5 stars. We like the 5 stars. You know what? We're happy with the 4, but we love the 5. Okay, so he's saying here, I look forward to new content regularly. Sorry about last week. This show keeps me going while I'm working. You guys are Bluetoothed into my hat.
Nice.
I don't know what that means. Is that what the kids do now? Is it like the Bluetooth into that? Is that like the Netflix and chill? Is that because I don't want to chill with you, man? Listen. I like you, but I don't think we're there yet. So, but I'm Bluetoothed into your hat. I'm honored to be in your hat, man. Whatever that means. I'm assuming he's got a hat with Bluetooth on it. So, I am essential. Hey, we're all essential, buddy. I work in a cooler for the largest distributor. I am leaving a 5-star review for the hopes you guys don't stop recording. Please keep the content rolling. Or is off for life. Well, you can't all be perfect.
No, I mean, that's not the worst. Or is off's not too bad. He just needs to throw a little bit of blue in there and go Esper.
Oh, stop it. God, you your damn control. You know what? I prefer Orzhov to Esper. You know what? He's gone up a few pegs. I keep imagining if they would darken a Johnny just a little bit, give him a black pip, nasty ability, or even make his brother black-white. There are too many jokes on that, and not one is appropriate. I'm looking forward to winning the review contest. Just kidding. Mentioning me or my review is GGS. Good games. Yeah, I am so freaking old. You know what? If anybody out there wants to tell me what G.S. is, please let us know. Again, I'm wicked old. I admit this. A huge win all by itself. I have Discord. Add me. Until next time, I leave my mana untapped because I never know when I'll need it. Yes! He's the first one. I almost want him to win just on that alone. That's right, because I wrote that tagline. So I've got a lot of love for that tagline.
And it's funny that you wrote that tagline because that's a control monster.
You know, it's shut the frack up. So, and then, wow, we have a bunch of them. Holy cow, this is great. Kender C, he writes, Aramis, the only standard podcast out there. 5 stars again. He says, Aramis and Will are the friends I needed to give me the confidence in returning to the MTG game. After a break of 23 years, I've learned that one, banding no longer exists.
That's not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all. 2, trample rules have changed. Yes, they have.
A little bit. Oh, I don't even get me started with trample, death touch, and first strike.
And 3, planeswalkers can ruin your day very quickly. Thanks for a great podcast, Dan. Dan, after 23 years, I'm pretty sure you're also very happy not to have to ante, and mana burn is gone.
Yeah, and so we're interrupt.
Yes, so, and again, Boomer Bandit, the 24th. I think we read his already, but I'll do it again. He's a 4-star, and he said, love listening to this on the way to work. I've been away from MTG for about 5 years, and this is perfect to get me back up to speed. So, again, if you want to leave us a review, we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. But we had some pretty good reviews. I mean, we should take weeks off more often. So, but, you know, I think that's pretty much everything we've got going on, right? I mean, we're pretty good.
I mean, just pivoting way back to the buy a box,
yeah,
or not the buy a box, but the box contest,
yeah,
the win a box. I mean, that's coming up quick. If you think about it, that's maybe 2 months at the most away.
Less than that, unless they're going to push it out now. And again, Rosewater said he did an interview with the professor, and the professor, first of all, like the professor was, he even said, he's like, listen, I know you guys expect me to kind of. To be a little bit more journalistic integrity. He's like, but given the situation where we're at, I'm going to kind of go softball on him a little bit. And Rosewater was answering tough questions that the professor wasn't even asking. You know, like, somebody needs to stop Mark Rosewater. Like, take his phone away. Like, get the man to not talk for a while because he's giving away too much. Like, don't ask us if we want balance or innovation. Like, oh my God. That's, you know,
I think he should keep talking. I think him being, we get more out of him than
that's true.
Most of the other press releases from the company. He is open. He is honest. He is very forthright.
Well, I think because he's a fan. I mean, he is the designer.
He is a huge fan of the
but
game.
He's the
for all the people that are saying he's, for everyone who's trying to saying that he's trying to kill the game, be quiet. I mean, his part of the game ends when design gets handed off. You know, he doesn't see half of these cards when they're in their finished product.
Right. So, I definitely, you know, it's just, he was saying, though, what I was saying about that was, he said in that interview, he's like, listen, we don't know the timelines anymore. Everything's up in the air. He's like, you know, yeah. We have targets. We have targets we're going to try to hit. He's like, Core 2021 is supposed to come out in June. It may get pushed back. He's like, because nobody's getting Ikoria until mid-May, and that may be pushed back. You know, luckily, it looks like it's not. I mean, it looks like things are going out, and events, not events, but, I mean, people are going to get their product. So with that in mind, I mean, I could see them saying, hey, we're going to push back 21 to August, and we're going to push, you know, rotate. Now, the problem comes in rotation. Like, okay, do you push rotation? Like, do you...
I don't think so.
I think all they can do, the only thing they could do, really, is that if they try to push it too far, what they can do is say, hey, You know, first of all, there's that extra month. You've got an extra month buffer between rotation and the rotation set and the second set. Like, there's usually 4 months between the fall set and the first of the year set. It's not like they don't have a buffer that they could push rotation out a month. Or they could just conceivably say, core 21 and rotation, Zendikar, are going to happen at the same time. We're going to release two sets simultaneously, and, you know, it's going to, I don't know if that's
what
they
do. That might be messy. I think they keep the rotation on the same schedule because these sets are also released digitally, and we've had Ikoria for a while already. So
they may
start, keep it in line with the digital.
I think we're going to see more of that. I think they're going to be like, should be releasing digitally a month early anyway. Because first of all, if you go on TCG Player or Amazon, it is hard to find boxes. People want their paper. My God, even I'm like itching for paper. I'm going to buy a box, a box.
Also, don't forget, too, that supply chains have been vastly disrupted by this. So they probably had their first print run, but probably never got around to printing the second print.
Yeah, and everybody's the stores I talked to, Anna at Professor Bonds and Chris, and again, you know, I've got a feeler out to Steve, and I'd really like to hear what Gerwins is doing. They're all saying the same thing that, you know, like they've already pre-ordered, they're sold out of their pre-order, they don't know how much they're going to have for, you know, everything. You know, again, I've got people holding me stuff, but, you know, they're like, people really want paper. Like, even me, I'm like, oh my God, I don't have this in paper. And then I think about it, and I'm like, I haven't opened my case since I came home from work. Like, I have decks in there that are just useless right now.
I actually, one of the first things I did once Kerwin's closed is I deconstructed all of my decks and organized my collection.
I'm going to probably do that at some point. It's hard to do that because I'm working from home, so it's almost harder working from home. You think, like, I could probably fluff off her. No. Nope. IT, I get called at all times. What, I'm on lunch? Screw you. You're calling. Answer your phone. No, but... which I don't, but, you know, at the end of the day, though, I mean, we get, you know, I'm busier now than I was when I was at the office. So, you know, there's that. But let's, you know, be that as it may, we're getting right up onto about an hour here. So let's get to end step and, you know, we'll back out of here and start another week next week. All right, so as Aramis and I are rolling up our playmats, we're picking up our cards, putting them in the boxes, and getting everything away, and taking the pieces of boxes, running them over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this store. We want to remind you that we both stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast, and you can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73. And the best part is, folks, Planeswalkers Podcast, this is look like it's working. So we'll also be doing the show live on Twitch every week. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome. So I'm glad that went off without a hitch. You can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. I'll be honest, I haven't been streaming much at all.
Neither have I.
I have been hoping to do more streaming, honestly. That just hasn't happened. But when I do stream... anything that I do is always going to be also on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel, so look for me there as well. But if Twitter is more your speed and you want to keep up with the show that way, you can find our show at PlaneswalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WRBenson, but I'm going to be honest, folks, I don't really tweet there all that much. I really only have it so that I could really keep myself up to date with the ins and outs of Hulk Hogan's personal relationships. So, I mean, I'm all about watching, you know, the big Hulkamania and the 24-inch guns and the pythons coming down on you, man. I'm all about that. I want to see who he's dating. Just the Hulkamania. Man, Hulkamania, it's coming for you. Anyway,
Are you
okay? Oh, yeah, brother. What are you going to do when the Hulkamania comes down on you? All right. And of course... So, at WRBenson is my Twitter. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. We took the last S off for savings, and because somebody else took Planestalkers, them bastards. And like and follow our page there. We do stream the new show live there every week. That'll still continue, because we really do enjoy BeLive. And it's a good way for him and I to interact. So definitely go there, find us there, facebook.com/planestalker.
And folks, this is him on water, just so you know.
Yeah, if I was drinking, I'd be a lot more lucid.
At least that's what he's telling us. Anyway, finally.
Well, we'll take a test. Next week, it's a Pepsi challenge, man. Next week, Jack and Coke. We'll see how this goes.
Jack and Coke. Okay. All right. I'll keep poison control on standby.
That's a good call.
Finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And you can also shoot us an email just to let us know how we're doing with the show. If you want to not send a review just yet, although why would you want not want to? But anyway, if you want to send us an email, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And I want to remind you guys that I do host another podcast. I mean, I didn't get to do it yesterday because they recorded on Mother's Day. I was like, I'm and both those guys that I do the show with, they're single and don't have kids. I'm like, it's not my day, but yeah, it's Mom's Day. I gotta, And one of them's like, "Isn't your mother dead?" And no, I'm just kidding. But I host another podcast. It's on the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends TV Talk. I'd love for you guys to check it out. Find us on Facebook there at Legends TV Talk. And don't forget, folks, we already talked about it earlier. iTunes reviews, they are a great way to help the show along. If you can't be a patron, and I understand that in this crisis, take a few seconds. Install iTunes on your computer, or if you have an iPhone, it's real easy. Put it on there. Look up Planestalker Podcast in the podcast section and leave us a review, preferably 5 stars. It does help bring eyes to the show. Believe it or not, if you look for us, we're easy to find. If you look for standard MTG podcast, we come up and we're one of the higher ones. I mean, it's really great, and that is 100% attributable to you guys leaving those reviews. So I really want to encourage you to do that. Go there, leave us a review. Don't forget, we're also on Stitcher, we're on Spotify, we're on iHeartRadio, we're all over. Any place where you can get a podcast, if you don't find us, send me an email, let me know, I'll get us on there. So I really want to thank you guys for that. Please leave us a review there. I will have the winners for the review contest for April next week. Yeah, and I'll just include everybody, so because I think everybody is April. So with that, though, I want to thank you guys very much for listening tonight. We had a great time. It was good to be back. We will be back next Monday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time with more of the same show, talking about all sorts of crazy stuff, and hopefully we'll have some paper cards to play around with ourselves. But for Aramis Perez, I want to say thank you again, remind you guys that we really appreciate everything you do, and remind you as well to always leave some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.